The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on Stitcher, iTunes, and nfl.com/Sheck. Apologies up front. It's our first show, and it's late Friday afternoon out here on the West Coast in the West Coast Nerve Center of the NFL in Culver City. Specifically, we're inside Studio 66. Maximum strength! It's our only show this week because I took ill. I certainly intend to keep on spinning at minimum twice a week. No reason, because it's technically the NFL offseason. We've pointed out repeatedly the NFL really is now 365 days a year. And let's not pretend that we don't talk about stuff other than pro football here. We talk about other sports. And we talk about the most important game of all, the game called life. Don't laugh in my face. That's not a good way to start here. On your virgin run on the DDFP, the giggles you hear inside Studio 66 belong to a pal who I've enjoyed a lot over the last year. I don't even know how long he's worked here, but I've only really started kibitzing with him.
Year and a half.
Over the year and a half or
yeah.
so.
Yeah, about a year and a half.
You see him at the update desk in the NFL newsroom. You can also see him if you're in the right place. If you have the NBA ticket, you probably see him all over the country, talking about Clippers basketball. He goes out on the road with those fellas. That's interesting stuff. Here he is, everybody. It's Kyle Montgomery. What's the poop, fella?
Where's the applause? You don't have an applause button? Like,
no, you know what, though, Black Tie? That is something we should do. Although, yeah. I don't know that your first words need to be something.
You're right.
Is a critique.
This is my first run, so maybe I don't get an applause. I didn't know you were sick, though.
Play cool.
I didn't know you were sick. I hear you say that a few seconds ago.
No, I'm past it now.
You're past it.
Yeah, I'm just I got some residual, you know, stuff you can hear that my head is not 100% right.
Yeah. Is that why you grew out the beard? I mean, I like the.
You know, the beard has become a subject now, and some of the Patriots were in here last week, and Brandon LaFell, a bearded fella himself, pointed out that he thought mine was handsome.
It looks good on you. You look like a hunter gatherer.
Is that right?
Yeah,
I don't know if that's what I want.
Well, you look rustic, like a man.
I've always been, the thing with me is I've always been ruggedly handsome, so maybe this was my destiny all along.
Ruggedly handsome, that's a good description.
Yeah.
I'm just a little envious because I can't grow that thing.
Well, I will tell you this, not to curry favor with you, but I have asked around. I do it on both sides. It's not like I'm doing it just to talk to the women about the fellas here. I do it the other way. Hey, ladies, who's the best-looking fella in the office? I ask him. I don't mind telling you. Someone we work with named you. I was surprised. I was as surprised as anybody.
You know what? That doesn't make me feel good that you were surprised. Do you not find me attractive?
No, I think the good news is I think you're burying the lead on that one. Who cares what I think? You understand?
Well, I'll take that. I'll have to find out who that was.
Well, and then, so I overcame my illness courageously. Not unlike Jack Youngblood playing in the Super Bowl with a broken leg. I still did my duty, and I participated, something that I have talked about. If you've been listening to me for any amount of time or following me for any amount of time, I have been talking about the League of Leagues. This is something I've wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
Jonah Carey, who you may or may not know, he's a longtime visitor on my various podcasts and radio shows and stuff, he's now a writer, the baseball writer, at Grantland, and you see him on Olbermann's show and Baseball Tonight and all that ESPN jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I were kibitzing over belts at the farmer's market here in Los Angeles about 6 years ago, and I said, you know what would be the greatest? If instead of a GM for each team in each city, what if every sports town just had one GM? And then this would really open up the trade market. That's what would be fun, is if you could say, like, hey, GM of Chicago, you know, I don't know how much longer you want to hang with Derrick Rose, but if you give us Derrick Rose, we will give you, I wish I could think of a good, I will give you Yasiel Puig. You know, something like that. What if you could swing deals like that? Wouldn't that be fun?
You know, that's an interesting way of thinking. But with some of these GMs of some of these teams, I mean, you're talking about running the entire city of sports into the ground? It's too much to risk.
Why I know. Well, you would have to. One of the major considerations would be New York, L.A., and Chicago, who have multiple teams in the same sport. How do you negotiate around that? I'm not sure. I'm just the idea man. I'm like Billy Blazejowski in Night Shift. Did you ever see Night Shift,
no.
Kyle Montgomery?
No. I may have. I'm terrible with movie names. I'm terrible with actors' names. So don't even
your
throw
spirit
it.
Animal behind the glass is named Black Tie there. Black Tie riding high lately since he invented a new game on the Dave Damashek football program that many people fell very much in love with. It's called the Elimination Chamber. Black Tie.
Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, there it is.
There we go. First one.
Well, I didn't know we were doing one. Well, I wasn't asking to jump in on one. I was getting to know Kyle Montgomery a little
bit. It just comes up.
I was going to jump in on some NBA ball. Okay. There were a lot of trades about the Clippers are interesting.
Too bad.
We can get to that.
All right, we'll do that later. But also, and then we'll get to the chamber. I also want to, we have some NFL headlines that you and me are going to go through. You're the, you work at the news desk, so surely this will be fun for you to spread your wings.
Okay.
Like Michael Keaton does in another Michael Keaton movie, Birdman. Oh, see? Look, he's come up twice.
I don't know Michael Keaton outside of Batman.
All right, but you're familiar with the picture of this Birdman that's predicted to win all the Academy Awards this weekend, right?
Yeah, of course.
All right, go ahead, Black Tie. Get it. I'm sorry, I broke the momentum of elimination.
You can't do that, man. You can't do that. All right, let's do this. NFC South teams, and the reason I bring this up, obviously Jameis at the combine making the rounds, likely going to be picked up by the Bucs there with the number one pick. So NFC South teams, Panthers, Saints, Bucs, Falcons, eliminate one of these teams.
That's what you did. That's and by the way, Kyle is new to it, as is, I'm sure, well, I don't know if every listener, but many listeners probably don't know. This is the game. It makes no sense. There's no rules to it.
Okay.
He just gives you four things, and then you have to eliminate one.
Eliminate one team.
Yes. Or whatever. One of the four things he gives you. I don't know what happens to them once they're eliminated, but this is the standard of our...
You gotta make it your own. Give it your own reasoning.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. It's open-ended
in this game.
Right.
I'm going to eliminate the Bucks.
Because?
Because... I just don't see much upside with the franchise. Can I say?
Oh,
I just don't. I don't. I mean, I know that they've got new coaching staff and they got some pieces, but it's certain teams that you just I don't feel right about.
Well, I don't. I'd love to eliminate the uniforms. I don't mean I'd rather them play nude. I don't mean like let's eliminate the uniforms for 2015 and have them take the field as is. I wouldn't want that.
The uniforms now are much better than they.
No.
You don't think
incorrect.
So?
Incorrect. Than the ones that they won the Super Bowl in? The pewter and everything?
Okay, no.
You mean the creamsicles?
The creamsicles.
The creamsicles are the classic case I made when I did my uniform rankings for the all 122 professional teams in America a couple years ago. I cited them as the example that everything will come back around. Everybody hated the creamsicle uniforms when they were wearing them at the time. Then they got rid of them. And then about a decade or 15 years later, everybody has been saying, why don't they bring those back? Those were all right.
You know, retro is in, man.
Yeah. Well, I definitely don't like the...
if it didn't look great.
The digital alarm clock look that they have going. But I disagree with you about the pieces, especially once they add famous Jameis, and they're going to be in nice shape there.
Well, you'd have to be a big believer in Jameis Winston.
No, Gerald McCoy is terrific. He's among the very best.
Without a doubt. And
Levante David is among the very best.
Sure.
You have Mike Evans is a rising star.
I do like him.
Vincent Jackson. Austin Seferian Jenkins.
They got pieces, man.
I don't know what you're talking about. They don't have anything to look forward
Jameis
to.
Jameis did say he's looking to win the Super Bowl next season.
That might be a little silly.
He did say that at earlier. But, no, I still, you know. With Jameis Winston, he'll be a first-year quarterback. He's got a little bit of baggage. We don't know what his maturity level is. He sounded great today. He answered the questions the way he's supposed to answer them.
Well, think about this. What if, you know, when you bring up the NFC South, it was obviously an atrocious division, but I really do think that it's headed in the direction of the NFC West Everybody cites, what was that? That was only
Wait a minute.
4 years ago, 5 years ago, when the beast mode run happened in the playoffs, yeah. And they were set. But keep in mind, people remember the beast mode run against the Saints in the first round of the playoffs. A lot of people forget that Seahawks team won the division at 7-9.
Yeah,
this was equally as bad this past season in the NFC South. But really, what's a bum team there? Cam Newton's Panthers? No, they're going to be better next year than
playoff
they were this
team.
Year.
Yeah, playoff team.
The Saints. Do you think that they're finished? Unless you think Drew Brees is over the hill and is not going to bounce back.
That's why I couldn't say New Orleans.
And then, Tampa Bay, at least aside from you.
Well, they have to be the odd man out.
And then what about the Falcons? The Falcons are...
And you're a defensive coordinator?
Yeah, well, it's a whole new setup over there. They should be interesting, too.
They should be an interesting team.
It looks like they're going to start giving the ball to Devonta Freeman, who was one of the stars of Hard Knocks this summer, if you watch that, little fella who can really
– And he's out of Florida State, right?
No, I don't think so.
He didn't play at Florida
State?
No,
I think he's
State.
A small school guy.
Was he? I don't know why. Who I'm getting him confused with?
Freeman. I'm trying to think of who you might be.
Well, it's easy
about.
For you because you got a laptop.
No, he is right.
Look up. I mean,
Florida State. He's a Seminole.
Boom! Devonta Freeman?
Come on,
Florida
man.
State.
Yes. I'm dropping nuggets on here, man.
I thought he was a small school kid. I didn't know that. Maybe because he's small. All right.
Oh, yeah.
One for Montgomery, zero for Damashek, but with your opening line, which was an insult about the show, you're back to zero. All right, so I guess I'll go with the Falcons because, one, I don't like a dome. And two, I don't like their uniforms, and they need to change those. And Matt Ryan's getting up there a little bit. At some point soon, in age, I'm not saying he's an old man, but you start to get to a point. What is Matt Ryan? Halfway through his career? Just past the halfway mark of his career, somewhere in that range?
Even in his prime, he wasn't a top.
Well, let's not make him old now, because he's not wasn't. It's not like his prime has ended yet.
He's 29, by the way.
So he's 20. I'm not suggesting that he's old. But I do think psychologically, at some point you start to decide, hey, we better do something.
Well, has he peaked? And if you think he's peaked, then
I think he was good. I think he. You know what? Guys like Chris Wessling from around the NFL have turned me around on him. I got snobby about 2 years ago. I really became smitten with the likes of Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, Andrew Luck, and you could see why would you not? Or Ryan Tannehill. Of late, when you can add the dimension of a guy who can take off and kill you with his legs, Aaron Rodgers has been doing it for a long time, and Roethlisberger has too. Why wouldn't you? Matt Ryan, it's unsatisfying, but Matt Ryan actually lost weight in 2014 and was moving around pretty well. He actually had that. If you left a bunch of green in front of him, he'd make you pay for
it. He's got some mobility,
and Look,
like Julio Jones?
I'm trying to eliminate a team. I've suddenly in the elimination chamber, I found myself stuck because it's hard to say one of these teams isn't good.
Just a heads up though, 2012 was his best passing season, 32 touchdowns, 14 picks. But last year was his best rushing season, 145 rushing yards.
See, okay. There you go.
To your point.
Well, and Roddy White's getting a little older there. But the buzz is that they're chasing Julius Thomas, that they're going to go after him. There's also buzz that they might try to grab one of those two high-end receivers in the draft. Imagine Kevin White out of West Virginia or Amari Cooper out of Bama. If they wind up with one of those and Julio Jones, egad. Again, they should be a juggernaut. That's a great question now that you mention it. What team is going to be the team to beat out of the Saints are the easy one to just throw that was just a pretend like 2014 didn't happen, but they were really crummy and Drew Brees is 36 years of age.
Yeah, but he's still Drew Brees. He's still an elite quarterback in this league.
Is he really?
I don't know.
I think so. I'd take Drew.
If you watched him, not looked at his numbers. If you not, don't look at his statistics.
I mean, he's throwing for close to 5,000.
Don't look at his statistics.
But I can't help it.
Watch use your eyeballs and watch him last year, and he just was not as good as he was. I mean, he made bad decisions that he typically wouldn't have made.
Let's call it an anomaly of a year.
All right. I guess that's what it comes down to. I'm not going to throw the Saints out, so I guess I will do it with the Falcons. And I will do it only from a sartorial perspective, from a fashion sense, because I don't like
just because you don't like uniforms.
Black tie, your answer?
I'm going to go Saints. I mean, I'm thinking more of the future here. And, Panthers, Bucks, assuming they get Jameis, which I'm sure they will, and you know, Matt Ryan and the Falcons, and maybe they add some new talent in offense. I gotta go Saints, because I think they're the one team that's about to experience change. Maybe not this season, maybe next season. So I'll go Saints.
All right, let's talk quickly about Famous Jameis, because I want to tell you about this league things quickly, and I'm sure there will be at least one or two more elimination chambers that we have to deal with here, Kyle. And I do want to hear a little.
When they're coming, though.
Huh?
You can't predict when they're coming. It's going to show up.
Yeah, it's true. I know. It's very.
See, I didn't know the uniforms were in play. See, now I know that.
He just told you whatever you want to be in play is in play.
Go anywhere.
Choose which city, which of those four cities has the worst food, if that's your pleasure.
Okay.
New Orleans ain't getting eliminated from that one.
I like it.
Neither is Charlotte, because if you've ever been there on a game day, it smells delicious.
I don't know.
The smoke meats.
No.
The smoke pours over you.
You're talking about a guy that's from Kansas City, and I lived in Charlotte for a year and a half.
You also lived in ATL, though. That's actually where I first met Cal. In ATL.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that is where we met.
I Kyle, am with you 100% that Kansas City barbecue is superior to Carolina barbecue.
Okay.
Don't confuse the issue here. I definitely am partial to KC.
But you're just talking about ranking within these specific.
That's right.
Yeah, of course.
If you go to a football game there, which I guess you have, it smells so good. And also, it's cool. The stadium is all black on the outside.
Yeah,
when do you ever see that? It's a neat looking joint.
Yeah, you don't see it. You don't see the light.
And they have those giant panthers on the prowl, about the ferocious beasts awaiting your entry.
They have one of the cooler logos in the league. I like.
Don't get crazy. Now you got to went a little too far.
No, but it's like, come on.
I know what it's like. So, Famous Jameis.
Did you know the Falcons logo is it's a bird and an F all in one?
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, but I don't care. It's a good call for the kids out there who don't know that. I don't like what their uniforms look like now. But either way, Famous Jameis, people didn't like, I guess, that he went to the podium on Friday and announced that he intends to win the Super Bowl next year. I mean, you just can't speak. And Black Tie, I saw you tweeting about it, that you support he's got a distinctive speaking style, at least for an NFL quarterback. You know, I love it too. He seems to have a good sense of humor. He's folksy. He doesn't seem overly intense, and yet he seems to care about winning, all that sort of stuff. I understand he's surrounded by this cloud of some really nasty stuff. People who continue to try to dismiss it as just harmless hijinks aren't really looking at the Famous Jameis allegations or the allegations against him. But that being said, I think if he stays clean, including with the shoulder and everything else, physically and off the field, I mean, clearly to me, he's superior to Marcus Mariota, and I know people are high on Mariota and where he should go, and maybe the Eagles will go up and get him. But to me, Winston is clearly the one that I'd like to have. I guess Montgomery is, who do you compare him to? I like those professional comparisons. This is what people do over the next couple of months. I say Roethlisberger is the guy he reminds me of.
Because you love Roethlisberger, obviously.
No, I mean, what's it? No,
no, but no, I could see that because he's a gamer. He's got a similar body style.
Have the biggest arm in the world.
But has
capable arm strength.
Capable arm strength, and he knows how to improvise with that big body.
He can sling it from the pocket. Sometimes he doesn't make the greatest decisions. Sometimes he's not. I mean, he's reasonably accurate, probably more than Roethlisberger was. But he's got winner. That's what I always do with the QBs. To me, I no one would agree with this, what I have said before and what I'm going to tell you now. But I am, in fact, the QB whisperer. That's right, Black Tie. I know you might laugh. But facts are facts. What have I said for 4 years? Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL. Is there anyone who disagrees with that now?
No. But there wasn't.
But I said that 4 years ago.
Yeah, there were probably plenty of other people saying.
No. Oh, was I lambasted?
I don't know.
Said Peyton Manning would never win another Super Bowl 2 years ago. Is he ever going to win another Super Bowl? No.
I don't think so.
Well, has more to do with the team.
Him getting old?
Well,
yes, that's what it has to do with.
That's just you.
What did I say? I said the two best quarterbacks from the 2014 draft class will be Derek Carr and Blake Bortles, and I feel that they are both headed in the right direction. Maybe Teddy Bridgewater will have say.
I'm not so big on Blake.
Well, I mean, he had no offensive line. He's going to be good, though. You'll see.
Right, I think the more interesting question here with Jameis is who is this guy's – like, who is he going to be as a person, like, in terms of an NFL personality? Because there's not a lot of times you see a quarterback come out – who's different.
They'll beat it out of him. I mean, only Philip Rivers has been able to maintain any of being real. And you know what? Tom Brady, to some degree, like a real guy when you see him interviewed. Most of these guys seem phony.
You know another guy who he could – that he resembles a little bit to me? Maybe a Cam Newton.
Yeah, Cam's a little polished, though. Cam's a little...
Are you talking about in the interview room? Are we talking about his persona, his
game? Oh, how he plays? I don't see Cam. He doesn't move like Cam.
No, he can't move like Cam. I'm talking about body style. I'm talking about stature, kind of the way... You know, he's not as mobile.
Clearly. Yeah.
But I wanted, to add a little spice outside of... I don't want to just piggyback on your Roethlisberger.
You're right. Okay, fair enough. Well, I'll tell you this. Let me tell you. I say it all the time, but... you know who kind of looks like, in body type, he's not as big as Cam Newton, but who is a specimen in person is Brett Hundley. Did you see him at the Super Bowl?
Is he a big one?
He just cuts
a big comparison because Cam is a big dude.
Cam's the biggest. Cam is a guy, when he comes in, you think, boy, I feel bad. It's the same thing as the Marshawn Lynch thing. When you see Marshawn Lynch in uniform and you're standing next to him, you think, wow, I mean, there aren't very many guys bigger than he is. Well, and to challenge him when he's going full speed actually would take something after you've been taking a beating for 2.5-3 hours. If you're a defender, to throw yourself in front of that guy, it isn't coincidence. You know, in this day and age, we always talk about the effect of passing and how, and you know, the surge in like ability to carve teams up. But that old school mentality does work. I know that some people will say, well, that's so obvious if you watch the Seahawks. But really, the attrition of just physically beating up the defense by just continually handing the ball off, somehow Pete Carroll and company forgot about that. I don't know if you heard about how the Super Bowl ended, but they didn't run the ball, and a lot of people were about that. Yeah. I think had they done that, they probably would have won. Either way, the point is, yes, Cam Newton is monstrous as well and will steamroll defenders. How about what he did to Earl Thomas? Because the Seahawks put them away, and that was the end of that. The stiff arm, he literally shoved Earl Thomas to the ground. Earl Thomas is a tough fella.
That's a grown man thing. And that
I love that
move. That damages your pride. I mean, that's like getting slapped to sleep almost. I mean, that's
what's more embarrassing, going to Course Sports, getting a stiff arm like that or getting dunked on or getting blocked?
I don't understand that's a great question.
Getting dunked on.
No.
Yeah.
If a QB shoves you to the ground and your job is to tackle the guy with the ball and the running back or the QB pushes you onto the ground, that's more humiliating.
I don't think there's any shame.
You just got tackled by the guy you're trying to tackle. That's way worse.
Okay, it is embarrassing, but there's less shame if you get stiff-armed to the ground by a Cam Newton. Remember Dante Culpepper? Is there any shame if he runs you over?
I don't know, but I know this. What is the beef with – the thing I don't get is I really never understand the posterizing thing. Because why? All right. So
you never play ball.
Are you out of your mind?
You never play ball.
I'm going to take you outside on the blacktop and show you about how I play ball.
No. Okay. Well, you certainly have
Do
never
I
dunked.
Play ball?
You've certainly never dunked.
No.
Okay.
What, you have?
Oh, sure.
You know how to dunk a basketball?
Yes.
All right. So what?
I'm 6'3", STD. I almost dunked on him in Atlanta.
So what? So if you posterize, if Vince Carter is so proud, I shamed Dikembe and I shame Patrick Ewing. Like, what?
That's because you don't have a clear.
They're trying to close. They're trying to help. First of all, the Charles Oakley, like when Patrick Ewing is well known for Michael Jordan dunking on him in the playoffs.
Yes.
When he spins on the baseline and goes at the rim. Patrick Ewing is trying to help out Charles Oakley, who gets embarrassed. Patrick Ewing goes to the rim to try and defend it and gets dunked on. So what? I don't understand the humiliation.
You can't talk about that topic because you've never dunked on anyone.
No, the opposite.
You never, and you don't know.
The key question is, have I ever been dunked on? Not if I dunked on somebody. I don't know.
I've dunked on someone before, and the degree of difficulty is through the roof. I mean, you're in the air. Contact, you have to find a way to throw the ball in over them. That's why you see guys.
No. You're screwing up the question, though. That's not what feels better to the guy who gets the good side of it. What's worse? I never, believe me, I've been humiliated plenty out on the blacktop And I mean, that to me, if somebody dunked on me, it'd be like, wow, that's pretty awesome. They
I would
jump up like that.
I'd rather get stiff on probably than dunked on.
There was a guy named Billy Williams at my high school who was a couple years ahead of me. He ended up playing wide receiver at Wisconsin. I think he played a little ball there too. And once we were running varsity against JV, and I got the ball on the baseline, and so it was basically three. I'm old enough that they didn't have three when I first started in high school.
Really?
They didn't have the three. They didn't have the stripe in there.
I didn't know you were that old.
Oh, I'll tell you a story sometime. So the ball comes to me, and this Billy Williams is under the rim. He's the biggest guy. He's the best athlete on the team and everything else. The ball gets to my hands, and I'm wide open there. And in the amount of time it took me to put the ball up, he closed on me from under the rim and rejected it into the stands in a scrimmage. He shamed me. That was bad. I can't imagine him dunking on me. I would have been like, yeah, I guess you could dunk on me. I would expect you to.
Yeah, you're small. That's different.
Getting blocked is pretty bad, though. I've never dunked before.
Yeah.
I wish I could. I could 180 without the ball.
It's all circumstantial, too. I mean, you know.
But getting blocked is pretty bad.
Getting blocked is bad. But if you're 5'3 and you get dunked on by a 7-foot guy or 6'10, it's no real shit.
Well, let me tell you this. So
what about getting burned, you know, when you, you know,
now,
going deep? Getting burned is pretty bad.
What about getting crossed over to the ground?
That's embarrassing.
That's a ranking. We should come up with a ranking. See,
that's
I think getting burned.
The most embarrassing thing to have happened to you.
In sports, yeah. What's the most embarrassing play?
Well, some of those offensive linemen, when their pants come down and their bum shows for the world, that ain't a point of pride, I imagine.
That's probably.
I know it's not the same thing, yeah. But what we can factor it in. How about, well, I mean, another one is for a QB specific one is when they try to throw the ball. That's their job to do it, and it flies backwards.
Like your guy Jameis. Like Winston. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jameis Winston as maybe the most famous example of that ever in the Rose Bowl.
He's got
this year.
Famous memes because of it.
Well, if you want to talk about embarrassing, I guess I should. This is the appropriate time to tell you. I always fancied myself. I got to be in high school. If I'm all alone, and Black Tie can attest to this, and so can Ike Taylor, number 24 of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if he will be that going forward, but either way, you know who I'm talking about. He played some ball. You know, he was proud of his basketball game. He bragged about it about a year ago when he was here in Studio 66. And he didn't have a great 2013 season for the Steelers. So I said, I want to get your head right. I'm going to make it easy. Let's start slow. Let's start at the bottom and work your confidence back so that in 2014 you'll be all set to go. He was down for the noise. So we went out to the blacktop. And I said, let's just do free throws. You know, you're good at basketball. We'll do free throws. Let's see who can make more. I humiliated him. I destroyed him in a way that he didn't see coming, and frankly, neither did I. And Black Tie was positively ashen.
Well, I'm not that impressed with that. I'm sorry. I'm not hating on you.
I told Dave.
It'd be different if you played a one-on-one.
It's one-on-one.
Yes.
I got a better basketball story for you though. There's this guy called Cal Montgomery who's in the studio right now and claims to have dunked on a few people.
I have.
So back in the day when I was intern at NBA and TNT, we all went out there and played some hoops, and Cal was on the other team, I was on one team, and his team was up like 6-7 points, and I was like, you know what, that's enough, I can't let this happen. Just took over, you know, and ever since then Cal's been trying to get another game, and I was like,
that's what the great ones do. When it's, you know, the time is right, over. They just take the game over.
Well, I was trying to be generous, and I was passing the ball to my teammates who were lesser players than myself, and we ended up losing the game. Because, number one, he failed to mention that I was playing in a full suit and dress shoes. So they had a clear advantage.
Is that true?
There.
That is so not true.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and I had the suit buttoned up, too. So I had no range.
Take that, Larry Bird, in your warm-up jacket in the three-point contest.
No range of motion. But, hey, I mean, come on. I forgot about that game.
I want to get a game.
It's a
I want to see
highlight for
someday. We will see what Black Tie actually has on the blacktop. He likes to talk it. I'll tell you that.
Well,
listen,
much. I'm not about to talk. I'm about that action.
Well, I always say to people. People always say when we finally do, after days or weeks or months of talking about a basketball game or whatever sporting event, we go out and play. And about a third or halfway through the game, or maybe it'll make it all the way to the end, someone will say from the other team will say to me, why were you talking so much? You're not good at all. And I said, listen, if I had the luxury of allowing my game to speak for itself, believe me, I would do it. But as it is, I have no game. If you take away the talk, then what's my point? I shouldn't even show up.
No.
But I did show up like Taylor talk. That day. I took him out there. I made basket after basket after basket after basket.
Oh, man. You are the free throw champ.
And did he have a good
elimination
champ? Oh, here we go.
There we go. Here we go, guys. This is it.
Okay.
It's that time of the year.
I got a good story, though.
We're
go ahead.
Right in the middle of, like, NFL events. So I'm going to ask you. I'm going to give you four NFL
events. Right in the middle of NFL events.
Yeah, like right in the middle. I'm going to give you guys four NFL events, and you have to, you know the drill, eliminate one.
All right.
Pro Bowl, Super Bowl, Combine, and the draft.
I don't think you should really include Super Bowl in there, should you?
No,
you can't.
Would anyone eliminate the Super Bowl?
You never know. I mean, I went to Super Bowl this year. It was an awful experience because of how it ended.
Yeah, because you're in love with
Russ is my boy, and like I threw a pick.
Right? I'm going to get rid of the Combine.
Really?
I'm going to eliminate the Combine.
I did tune it in some today.
I don't care. I don't care a lot about guys' measurables and the stats and the 40-yard. I don't care about seeing an offensive lineman see how fast he runs the 40-yard dash.
Well,
How many times a guy can bench press 225 pounds. I don't care about that.
By the way, the commissioner's on the phone. He wants to speak with you.
Hey, it was listed as a topic of elimination, so I'm going with it. I don't want that. Get rid of the Combine. That's mine.
I say get rid of baseball. Nothing is wrong with pro football. No, I will say the Pro Bowl because I'm with you. I was watching some Combine, and it really does look a lot of it when they do the two-man stuff, the offensive linemen shadowing each other, and they go back and forth. It looks like, do you remember the scene in Big when Tom Hanks plays handball with the mean guy?
What the cow just told you about movies?
I just told him.
Oh, yeah.
The scene in Big.
It looks like they're playing keep away with one of them has a ball and the other one doesn't, but they're unathletic. They're less athletic than Tom Hanks and what's his name from the dad from Home Alone.
I don't know his name. I do know what he looks like.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, the so-called underwear Olympics and all that, it's fine. I mean, the fact of the matter is, and you can talk to, you know, scouts. We love talking to Daniel Jeremiah and Charlie Casserly and Brian Billick and all those guys, and they'll tell you the same thing about it. 80 or 90% of the decisions are based on watching tape from games.
Yeah.
This is ancillary stuff. Yeah. So the intrigue around it is fascinating, and it shows the power of football is what it does, is how captivated we are by the process. But ultimately, if you are thinking while you're watching it, this is a cherry on top of what we know about this guy from tape. If you're drafting, if you're a personnel guy, then it's hard to really get too invested.
And oftentimes you'll see a lot of guys that are physical specimens, and they can lift 225 pounds 100,000 times. But it doesn't necessarily translate to the field. Sometimes the guys that are the strongest or the most athletic, they don't necessarily look. It doesn't translate with the numbers you see in the combine. So that's my pick.
Cam Newton shoving down Earl Thomas has nothing to do with combine attributes. He's just a grown strong man who's football strong, and that's it. No! Right, I didn't even finish my answer.
Well, Kyle's got to leave, so one more.
Pro Bowl. I'm doing. I say Pro Bowl because, as I always point out, the Loser Bowl is the better idea. The Loser Bowl is you play the two worst teams. On, you know, could be Pro Bowl the same day as the Pro Bowl, or you could do it in the wild card. You do it on Friday night or on, like, Wednesday in between the wild card games and the divisional round games. The two worst teams play. The winner gets the first overall pick in the draft. You call it the Loser Bowl. You get it sponsored by Jenny Craig or somebody like that. And that's it. And that would be a game everybody would watch. Oh. No, we're not moving on yet, Black Tie, because I'm going to tell a story.
Gonna leave.
I understand, but I want Kyle to hear this story because we're talking about getting humiliated.
So selfish. Come on.
We're talking about getting humiliated.
Okay.
This was humiliating. In my senior year, the one thing I could do in basketball is if I'm all alone, I can catch and shoot and knock it down.
Okay.
And when I'm going right, I can really start drilling them.
Okay.
I can really start, you know.
I could see that.
I can make 14 out of 15 if I get
a little stroke.
If I'm all by myself and, you know, I'm playing scout team for the next team we're about to play in high school. I would get out on the wing against the zone, and I would, you know, I would make them pay and all that. But I never played in games. I never got in. I wasn't good enough. I was the 13th man on a 12-man team.
Aww.
I was quite poor. I'm the slowest coordinated person I've ever known. I always say that. I'm the most coordinated slow person. However you want to say it. Either way, before my senior year, a gift from the basketball gods, I might be relevant because they've decided to put in a 3-point stripe nationwide in high school.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, rejoice. So I, what is this, a telephone call from a boss?
Well, no, that's what I was telling you. I'm booked for a radio show as well, another one.
I don't know about that. I don't know where that comes from.
See?
Well, let me just tell you my story.
Okay, finish it.
I'll try to finish it as quickly as I can. We play the whole season. I barely touch the floor. You know, I get in for some scrub minutes here and there. Very, very rarely. We didn't blow anybody out. We didn't, and if we were getting blown out, shame the devil. Damashek wasn't getting in there. So in the last game of the regular season, because I certainly wasn't going to be suiting up for the playoffs. For the last game of the season, we're playing our century-old rival in this one. Now, the anticipation is from the regular fellas, and they're all nice guys, and they say, "Play, hey, come on, coach, put Damashek."
Yeah.
By halftime, the game is in hand. We're up 15 or 20. They're saying to the coach, "Come on, put Damashek in." And all my chums, who are the there are only a few of us who are back of the bench guys, but all the nice guys, all the starters are still in there. Come on, and they come over at whistles, put in Damashek. You know, they're nice guys. And then the crowd started.
Did they call you Damashek back then?
Shek. And so then the crowd started chanting Shek, 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 like that. And I thought it was great. And then years later, I realized, you know, when they do that with the pasty guy at the end of the college bench, yep. And they do that, yep. And then they cheer because he makes a basket. You realize, oh, they're really laughing at him. They're,
yeah,
not really. But I didn't know it at the time. I was thought they want me. The people want me, coach. You got to put me in. They cleared the bench. Finally, my friend Richie goes in. He's in for the last 2 minutes of the game. It's an outrage that I'm sitting there with less than a minute to go. Finally, I'm put into the game, and soon after, there's a foul by us on the other team. Where the game is, you know, yeah, well, it's 20, over. 25 points over. So there are, I think, 20 seconds left on the clock. And the other team goes to the line to shoot their free throws. And all the guys on our bench are waving to me, get off the foul line. Don't, yeah. I'm holding one of those spots. No, get behind them. They're yelling to me. So I go and I stand behind the shooter.
So they can outlet the ball to you. And you
right.
Have, yeah.
They're waving, back up. I'm literally at half court now. I'm at half court before the second shot, which the guy misses. We get the rebound. They give it to Richie. So I sprint as soon as I see the ball not go through the hoop. I run to my favorite spot at that baseline that I invoked earlier that I had the ball rejected back at me a couple of years prior. I run to my favorite spot on the baseline to make my three. All season long, I'd not made one. My dream was to make one three to go down in history. I run to my spot on the baseline. My friend Richie gets it just before the 10-second stripe. He comes across, and there's a guy closer to him than there is to me. And he throws it to me, Richie. And as I see, you know, I'm looking at, out of the corner of my eye, my right eye, there's the rim. And then beyond that, I can see the student body from my high school,
uh-huh,
rising in anticipation. Oh, my God.
I love
the ball. The ball is now is coming my way. And I know this is easy to say after the fact, but I swear. You know how you know when you're going to make it. You know how you feel.
Yeah.
At halftime, I knew I was going to get in. I was knocking them down because we were up 20. I knew I was going to be playing in the second half. I was knocking them down. I just felt right. I felt good.
Yeah.
I didn't have that anxiety in my knees that kind of throws your shot off sometimes when you can't feel your arms. I felt good. The ball is past me. I think to myself, it's here, finally. All those moments in the gym, you know, shooting.
The payoff.
Here it comes. And I think, you know, it'd be a shame if when you make this shot, if it happened that your toe was on the line. So I just quickly look down just to make sure that I'm in the right spot. Sure enough, I am. I look back up, and the ball's already there. It hits me in the hands. It goes out of bounds, and that's the end of my career. It's a true story. It's 100% true.
You got right up to the moment, mm-hmm, And
I never got to pull the trigger.
See, I was going to try to explain it in a way that was PG, but
yeah,
that's sad.
What do you think of that now, Kyle Montgomery? You know what it is to walk in my shoes.
That is sad.
It's not pleasant.
That is sad.
You know what is pleasant,
you didn't
though?
Get the shot off.
You know what is pleasant?
What's that?
I didn't. Well, there's a. It's more than pleasant. It's revelatory. The name of the new UCLA running back, So-So Jamabo. I sang about it last week. People went crazy. As you would expect, the running back's name is So-So Jamabo. I sang a little So-So Jamabo. Oh. Hit it, Black Tie. I got a new one.
Oh, God. Here we go.
So-So Jamabo. So-So Jamabo. So-So Jamabo, So-So Jamabo. What about that?
That was lyrical.
I told you that was, see, now I feel better. You took me into a dark place. I had to dig myself back out. You know what? You know who handed me, you know, who gave me a hand up out of that dark ditch?
Who?
So-So Jamabo. Who do you think? Please keep up. Please.
All right, before Cal has to leave... NBA guy, so
elimination.
This
chamber.
Is the NBA version of the elimination chamber. Point guards, because me and Cal were talking about this a couple of days ago. Steph Curry, CP3, Russell Westbrook,
ooh.
Kyrie Irving. Eliminate one.
First of all, I don't know that you just named the four best point guards in the NBA.
Well, it's not the four best. I'm not going just best. It's don't. You know what? Just answer the question.
All right, fine. I, of course, Steph Curry is number one at this point. It's hard to argue against that.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Kyle Montgomery. I know who you're going to say too.
Well, TD knows who I would. Who I would say?
You're going to say Chris Paul.
No, I'm not going to say Chris Paul
because you work for the Clippers. You're a shill. Otherwise would say Chris Paul.
No. It's close. I'll say that Chris Paul is between Chris Paul and Kyrie Irving, but I'm going to say Kyrie Irving just because. Mm. He's a great offensive player. I'm not sure how good of a leader he is, and I'm not sold on him on the defensive end.
Well, he doesn't have to be a leader. There's another guy there who can handle that.
Well, you still want your point guard to have some leadership qualities.
Mm.
And I haven't seen it yet.
It's interesting because, you know, LeBron plays point, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he's essentially serves as a point guard in that system, just like he did in Miami in the last year there. So I think he's the trigger man is Kyrie Irving. He's the guy who has to fill it up. He's the guy who is set free to play two-dimensionally in my book.
Well, yeah, in that offense he is. Kevin Love should have some more freedom in an offense to do some of that too. But
Russell Westbrook is dynamite. I love him. I mean, he to me is, well, LeBron, I guess, would be number one. But in terms of just speed, just raw, straight-ahead speed, Russell Westbrook gets to the rim whenever he wants.
I'm going to shock you. And I'm going to shock
– Chris Paul doesn't do that.
I'm going to shock Black Tie with this, too. I would take Russell Westbrook over every other point guard in the league.
I thought you were going to say over Kevin Durant. You would take you would take him over – so, obviously, you would take him over Steph Curry.
Take him over Steph Curry.
Depends on
I don't think this
playing.
Is the year to be saying that. I don't think you're going to find anybody right now who would agree with that.
I think that why? Because you think the Golden State has a legitimate shot to win a championship because of the top seed in the West?
I certainly think they. I think this year they can absolutely get out of the West.
I'm not totally sold on Golden State yet. I think that they could potentially even lose in the first round.
What do they lack?
They might play OKC.
They might play Oklahoma City. They don't lack anything. They got plenty of depth. They're tough. They got the Splash Brothers. I mean, they have everything that you want as far as being set
they've
up.
Got they've got all the Draymond Green is their so-called character guy their glue guy. I mean, yeah, everybody says the same thing, but it's right. You know, if they're bigs, if their front line stays relively healthy, I absolutely think they
I do
get
think it depends
the,
on what game
West.
You're playing, though. If you're playing a pickup 3-on-3 game like me and Cal were playing back in the day that he couldn't win.
Some people in suits.
Russell Westbrook definitely is the guy, but if you're playing in 5-on-5 NBA regulated type basketball, team ball, I think I'm going with Steph Curry. It's kind of like if you ask me going into the careers, who would you rather have, Kobe or Tim Duncan? Kobe, better basketball player. Tim Duncan, better NBA player.
I got you.
I think I'll stay with
you. Well, it's real quick then, Kyle, before you go, which of the changes we've seen here coming up on the trade deadline do you think swung things, or did any trades swing a team into a spot where they now are better, where they really could make a run where they otherwise really didn't have a shot at getting deep at least?
Well, it was number one, it was the busiest trade deadline we've seen
in
probably 20 years.
Too bad for the Clips they didn't get KG.
Yeah.
That would have been, imagine if they could have, if they had KG just the same as last year.
Yeah. Well, Doc said that he was pleased with the roster that they had. And, you know, Clippers, as far as assets, desirable assets, you got Jamal Crawford, and, you know, he's the only one that you're probably willing to trade, and it just didn't work out. I would say Oklahoma City definitely bettered themselves. I mean, they got some depth. They got Enes Kanter. I think they got DJ Augustine in their deal. And they got rid of Reggie Jackson, who was unhappy. So I think they were the big winner. They were already going to be a playoff team. I think they slid into the 8th seed. So I don't think they're going to relinquish their spot in the playoffs. But I think they could definitely climb up. I think it's like 2.5 games that separates.
They now, three, I mean, the thing that always stood out to me was there was always this gathering storm of, yeah, OKC is nice, but when they go up against a team that can bang on them on the front line, they're just not going to ever be able to survive that. And you always saw that as the looming issue. Now they it feels like that's where, I mean, Kendrick Perkins was several years ago was, oh, he's going to make them tougher now.
Yeah, he's not.
But now, I mean, they just have nice length and they got some bangers up there.
Yeah.
They got some guys that have some skill up front now.
Yeah. They upgraded their roster for sure. But I thought they were going to be a contender anyway.
All right. Go ahead, Kyle Montgomery. Go be on your fancy radio show. I didn't get through. I got to say, we'll talk about it more next week, and we'll try to get to some of the guys in the league from the NFL here. But the League of Leagues, let me just explain to you. I can't believe a half an hour or more ago we talked about it. Yeah, he's telling you can go, Kyle Montgomery. You can't leave until Black Tie gives you the okay. When I tell you it's okay, if that's not enough. Thanks for doing it.
All right.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, not too soon. Sometime soon, though. Sometime. What kind of attitude that guy had?
He would have came in and wanted an applause right from the bat. Settle down, Cal. Gotta beat me first in 3-on-3.
So we did. So I forget what I would say, but so we decided to do 5-6 years ago something called League of Leagues, and so Jonah Carey, who I mentioned whenever that was, half hour 45 minutes ago, decided let's do a draft where you take three professional leagues and do the whole draft in one sitting, but all three leagues matter. You can win the leagues individually. But ultimately, the prize is to be the champion of league of all leagues. And so we have scoring now in place that will carry through the next 2 calendar years, starting with the baseball season and running, like I say, for 2 years. Just tell me what you guys think of this. The thing I always thought would be the most fun would be the first round or two, just for the big names and how you decide to address this thing. And we had a great guy, Toby Mergler, created the whole whatever you call
who else was in this league?
You know, Sal from Cousin Sal from the Kimmel Show and from Grantland as well is in it. Will Leach, who created Deadspin. Jack Kogod, who created Kissing Susie Colbert. Some Roto World guys, Chris Liss and Dalton Del Don was a great fella to hang out with. So the list goes. So you know, some heavy hitters in fantasy terms, some longtime fantasy guys, a couple of the Yahoo guys. It's a great joint effort, you know, from everybody in within these halls. Marcus Grant is in it. James Coe from NFL Fantasy Live and Adam Rank are have their teams in here as well. It's a 14-team league. Real fast, just indulge me. What do you think about this? Who do you think was the first overall pick? Ask Fouts there behind the glass as well. Fouts, who do you think, because Black Tie, I know, has seen the list. Who do you – three sports, NBA, MLB. It's a 2-year league, so you wouldn't want, for instance, even if Kobe Bryant were having a good year, you wouldn't take him because the NBA doesn't start, by the way, until – next October. So what's happening right now? But anyway, you follow. Tim Duncan wouldn't be a good pick in this league because he he's unlikely to be playing in 2 years.
Right, he's older.
And yet you don't want to take somebody who's some prospect. You know, Jameel Okafor wouldn't – not that he's eligible right now anyway, but Jameel Okafor isn't a dream because is he going to put up huge stats, you know, in the immediately? You don't know. So anyway.
So I got to pick two from each league.
No. Who do you think was the first pick? Oh. Two people. No, this was a 55-round
draft. Oh, out of all the players.
All the – who's the – if you had the first overall pick in this, who would you take? Football, baseball, basketball.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
Did you look at the draft, Black Tide?
I don't know who was number one.
You don't even.
I got to think it's between Mike Trout.
Oh, good for you.
Aaron Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
And LeBron James.
I was going to say LeBron James.
And I think it's between those three guys.
The correct answer is the first one you said, Mike Trout, which I thought was I suspected that that's how it would shake out there, but. Mike Trout first, and then wait. I just want to
give us the top 10 picks overall.
That's what I'm looking to do here. I just am dumb and can't seem to figure out how to get to there. Got this very fancy
Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, I know.
Draft order. There you go.
Wait a second. So the first, what is going on here? These people are lunatics, by the way, that are in this league with me. I'm in a lot of trouble. I don't know how I'm going to possibly keep up. They're all fantasy geniuses, most of them at least. And then there's me and Rank. But no, Rank did better than I did too. I can't figure it out. Dang, it was all – I'll tell you this. It was a lot of basketball. The second pick was Kevin Durant. I had the seventh overall pick. So it went Mike Trout one. Clayton Kershaw went sixth. At number five went Steph Curry. Kevin Durant went two, so who would that make number three? LeBron, I guess? Yeah, probably LeBron. And then at number seven, I picked the first football player. Who do you think it was?
Aaron Rodgers.
Lev Bell.
Lev Bell is the correct
one. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's true, right?
Because he's a running back. Yeah, running backs are valuable. So I took Lev Bell. Among the highlights of my team, I'll just tell you, is I took a lot of Pittsburgh Pirates. You'll be surprised. My QB, I was talking about the Saints and whether or not 2014 was an aberration. I hope it's not because I went big on the Saints. It's crazy. You're sitting there 55 rounds. Some people are drafting a backup. You're their sixth NBA guy, and you're like, oh, I need to find a tight end. You know, so it's a crazy – and we'll be able to trade within the leagues. But I went heavy on Saints. I went Drew Brees, Jimmy Graham, and Brandon Cooks. So I think I suspect there will be a big bounce back there, obviously, or else I wouldn't have done that.
I imagine Graham was probably very underrated.
He was within the first 10 rounds, I think, of when I got him. But it's weird when you're grabbing some of these guys. I got my best baseball players are Robinson Cano. Cano was my first player taken, at least.
Okay.
And I'm just looking through some of the bigger name guys. David Price is my best pitcher. Garrett Cole is the other one. I got Jose Fernandez from the Marlins. So if he bounces back, that would be good. And then my best basketball team. What do you think of this, Black Tie? Here's my basketball team. Point guard, Rondo. My shooting guard.
Oh, that's a miss. Rondo.
Why do you think so?
Rondo hasn't been Rondo. I mean.
I know. Well, he's still in a good situation. If he comes back healthy, and keep in mind – well, who knows where he'll be, but let's see where he lands. But he's a stats guy, you understand.
I can give you 15 point guards.
Stats guy. I'm not talking about who do you want as your real point guard.
No, I'm just saying I can give you 15 guys who I think their stats are.
Really? All right. Well, maybe I blew it on that one. I have Eric Gordon. I have Andrew Wiggins. That's a good pick for going forward. Not this season, but the next two. Blake Griffin, Kevin Love, Luol Deng. I took Josh Smith. Damari Carroll, Alex Len, Doug McDermott.
That's solid. Yeah, Kevin Love, though. If he stays in Cleveland, that's tricky.
I know. I don't know you almost kind of root from a stats perspective for him to move on.
Yeah.
But anyway, Fouts, what did you think? Was this a decent show?
Well, before we get to that, I do wonder if you guys included soccer, which you should for crying out loud. It's 2015.
No, they rejected hockey. You think we're getting the soccer? They wouldn't even accept hockey.
Are you comparing hockey to soccer? Come on.
No, I'm not.
If there was
if soccer was allowed, who would go number one? I mean, who would be the first soccer player to go?
The handsome guy or the little guy?
Well, see,
either Messi or Ronaldo. What do you mean?
Yeah,
Messi.
They're both older though. They're both.
Do you know that? I don't know.
Ronaldo's 30 now.
I'll let you answer that one. I'm sure it's the young guy from Brazil who's the big star. I can't think of his name. Kaká.
Neymar.
The guy who, that's a phenomenal stat. Do you know that 1 out of 10 La Liga games that Lionel Messi plays, he gets a hat trick? I think he has now 28 or 29 hat tricks in, I think, 300 La Liga games.
Yeah, him.
A soccer guy gets a hat trick every 10th game? That's insane. That sounds insane. He's when you nasty. Watch soccer, most scores are, 1-0, 2-1 or whatever. I mean, that he gets a hat trick.
I'm a Ronaldo guy, so I'm always quick to point out that Ronaldo's numbers are, a lot of times when it comes to goals,
always like
very
handsome guy.
Very similar, if not better, when it comes to goals.
See, if we were going to include soccer, I would have to go goalie. Because goalie needs to be – Tim Howard, for example, in high school.
Longevity.
He played forward because they had a decent goalie. He was an all-state forward. He was an all-American forward. But, in the end, he ends up playing goalie. So he's one of those guys, and he can dunk a ball. He's got the athletic talent where I don't know if Cristiano Ronaldo could play basketball or baseball or something like that.
Yeah.
Black Tie, you'll be pleased to learn, by the way, speaking of guys that are good at a bunch of different things, Odell Beckham was the second wide receiver drafted. No. He was the first wide receiver.
I was like, wow, he wasn't the first. That's surprising.
The first wide receiver drafted? That seems awfully aggressive.
If you're thinking for the next, next 2 years, you're saying? You're thinking for the next 5 years,
it's optimistic.
Only thing that could stop ODB from being a great, and this is Chris Weston who actually said it, and I agree with him, is injuries. I think he's one of those few non-quarterback talent who's like,
one of the very worst picks from a football perspective, maybe the worst pick of the entire 55 rounds. Somebody took Martavis Bryant, the Steelers rookie.
That was you, right?
No. Somebody took Martavis Bryant in the 8th round. There were two other sports in play. The 8th round of a 55-round draft. If it were an NFL-only draft.
Oh, I got a question.
And somebody took Martavis Bryant in the 8th round, you'd be like, oh, all right, I guess you think he's going to keep on going. I mean, that's not guaranteed. Marcus Wheaton's probably a better pass catcher than he is. He went in the 8th round of a 3-sport draft. Insane.
I got a question for you. Did Hassan Whiteside get drafted?
Of course he did. Everybody got drafted.
James Cole, by the way, who's also in this league and works on fantasy for us in Michael Fabiano's league, like that story we told a couple weeks ago, he stole Hassan Whiteside from my fantasy team.
Is that right?
And that's why I quit the league.
He's no good. He also stole – James Cole also stole from me – well, I mean, he didn't steal him technically, but he drafted Andrew Luck before I could.
He didn't steal. It was Fabs. Fabs failed as a commissioner, but moving on.
All right. Well, anyway, speaking of that, people loved that last podcast with Handsome Hank, and Fabiana was in for a bit, and Elliot Harrison, and we did a bunch of Elimination Chamber and some other stuff there. Oh, I sang about So-So Jamabo, not unlike this show. Which song was better, Fouts?
I'm a big fan of the one we just did today. I drew a blank on the name, even though we just talked about
it. It's actually
the name of the song.
Zach came up with the song.
The song is called So-So Jamabo. What do you mean? Couldn't think of
but I'm saying the one we parodied it off of.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, fair enough.
That song was an original song.
Yeah.
Let's hear
Guardians,
it one more time.
Actually, Guardians of the Galaxy actually used it in their movie. That's how
I don't know what
song,
you could possibly be speaking about, but go ahead.
Hold on. I got to find this.
Well, I'm saying they used your song because that's how good the song was.
I better get a piece of that action. That movie made a lot of money.
Ready?
Yep. Am I ready? So-so Jamabo. So-so Jamabo. So-so Jamabo. So-so Jamabo. So-so Jamabo. I think that's it. That's what you want, Black Tie? You want us to wrap it up?
Fade it
Black up. Tie is behaving himself like he is a
I'm directing.
runway, got one of those guys in the airplane runway.
Well, I'm actually
swinging his arms.
Telling
all over
Zach
the
to keep the music going, and I'm telling you to wrap the show up. Right. So we go out to the music.
That'll be it then. So okay, so what? Enjoy the weekend, or if this is after the weekend, welcome back to work. We will be back with more Hooey and Applesauce Combine, starting time to get ready for the draft and all that jazz, Elimination Chamber, So-So Jamabo songs. Who knows what awaits in the
quick,
meantime?
Though. I don't know if we have the rights to this. So.
Well, that's it, you're talking. It's making more time than anything else. I want to get back to singing this song, so we'll let you go. But thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven. So-So Jamabo. So-So Oh, wait. Jamabo. So-so Jamabo. So-so.